Voice of Minnesota, FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. It's a Friday afternoon, and it's probably going to be an afternoon of lots of breaking news with the coronavirus COVID-19. President Donald Trump is expected to address the nation, and gee, I think it's my first day in radio there, Eric, with my phone ringing. How about that?
I've got a live stream ready to go, so I was confused there.
Yeah. Maybe Trump's phoning in the live stream today. Yeah, but he's expected to declare a national emergency with his news conference today, and basically declaring a national emergency would allow wider use of federal funds by state and local authorities, some of which have been overwhelmed by the fast-moving coronavirus. So that's expected. With what he's going to say, we will see if it will be as disastrous as his address earlier in the week, where as he was speaking, you could see those Dow futures cratering as he was speaking. And I wonder now that he's going to be speaking, at least during this hour, which is the final hour of trading on the stock market, if we could see that same sort of effect, because at least for today, the stock market has recovered somewhat. Last check, the Dow was up about 700 points, so we shall see once he starts speaking if we'll have that same sort of effect in the stock market. So we'll go to that live stream as soon as he starts speaking. I'm not sure we'll cover the entire thing because, well, there's only so much Trump speaking I can take, but we'll at least get the gist of what he's saying. But certainly lots of news that has to do with the COVID virus, and this one I just saw from this morning. This is actually an interview with Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is an official with the National Institute of Health, and he's telling everyone, brace for at least 8 weeks or more of shutdowns and working from home as the virus surges in communities across the country. Man, 8 weeks would certainly be quite some time. Lots of businesses I know throughout the country, whether large or small, are making some plans. We here at AM 950 had our own meeting during the lunch hour, figuring out what we're going to do if everything shuts down, how we'll end up broadcasting. And by the way, should point this out, we will continue to broadcast even if everything does completely shut down in the state. But being that we are a radio station, I do want to point this out, that if you have, let's say you're a church and everything shuts down and you can't have your service, well, we could be a great resource here at the radio station to either podcast your church service or maybe have your pastor come in, give their sermon, kind of give their sermon at least from the station where you can at least have a chance to reach your churchgoers that way. Or there's lots of other examples. Let's say you had maybe some sort of presentation or conference that was supposed to take place. Well, hey, we could be a great resource to come in and have someone give their keynote address, at least on the radio or through podcast. So just throwing that out there, if things really do end up going south, that take advantage of us here at AM 950 being, well, a radio station and also an audio production studio. Want more information, call us at 952-946-8885, and all the staff upstairs would be happy to answer your questions and go through the logistics on that. So just want to throw that out there. Also today, we did have Governor Tim Walz declare a peacetime state of emergency here in Minnesota. And the announcement comes as, I guess, how about this, 5 more Minnesotans have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the total number of known cases to 14. And before I dive into more about what this state of emergency or peacetime state of emergency means, you and I were talking a little bit about this before the show here, Eric. That number still seems low. I mean, you and I were talking, we think maybe we've had it or maybe we've known people who have had the coronavirus.
Yeah,
just with the lack of testing, it seems like the number is probably a whole lot higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trump's trying to limit the amount of testing that's available just so that he can keep his numbers low. He can point at Europe and go, look how much worse it is over there. Never mind that they've tested 100 times as many people as we have.
And he has an interesting approach he might take within people in his administration, which we'll talk about, because, yeah, you might be partially right with that response, saying that, yeah, he would want to limit the number of people who end up testing positive for it. But if you think about his immigration policy, and from someone like Stephen Miller, with the fact that he's made his entire goal of his career to shut down immigration to the United States, well, he could take advantage of this emergency to shut down all borders in the United States. And in essence, you could make an argument to do that if you do have high numbers of people who do end up with the coronavirus. So I find that to be a really interesting dynamic within the administration, how on one hand, yeah, it could benefit Trump and his reelection campaign to keep those numbers low. But on the other hand, if you're thinking about someone like Stephen Miller, who is a close advisor of Trump and someone who has made his entire career goal, and by the way, that's not my words, he's literally admitted to that, to shut down all immigration to the United States, well, you could potentially take advantage of this type of crisis to shut down the border. So I wonder if there are some internal battles going on within the administration about how to report those numbers of the coronavirus. Either way, though, 14 cases here in Minnesota, and I'm thinking that number's got to be a whole lot higher than that, especially when you consider that we've had very few tests conducted here in the United States. What was I reading the number? Like only 76 tests have even been conducted this week, which is just insane when you think about how contagious this thing is. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We will have open phone lines for the entire hour. Gary, hang on just one second. I do want to go through, though, what this state of emergency means that was declared by Governor Tim Walz here in Minnesota. It's a peacetime state of emergency, so not everything will necessarily be on lockdown. So the state is making recommendations for a number of businesses, workplaces, nursing homes, and so on and so on. The state's recommendations are directed at workplaces, asking them to allow employees to work from home, stagger employee schedules, and limit work travel. Healthcare organizations were asked to restrict visitors and protect the elderly and people with disabilities. By the way, I have a little story about some grandparents I have that are in a nursing home that we'll talk about. The order also has public health guidelines that actually do not restrict the operations at airports, healthcare facilities, shopping malls, or libraries, at least yet. So these are more recommendations, and they're not mandatory, because they are recommending that gatherings of 250 people or more should be canceled or postponed, but that's not a requirement yet. They're just recommending that any gathering of 250 or more should be canceled or postponed in Minnesota. Smaller events should also be canceled or postponed if the settings do not allow for social distancing of 6 feet per person, which I find kind of funny, being that we're Midwestern Minnesotans. A lot of people aren't very comfortable talking that close to each other.
Yeah, we're probably already spaced out a good distance.
Yeah, I think we're covered in that. If you're on the East Coast, then maybe you have a little bit more of a problem. The guideline about social distancing is meant to stop the disease spread that could be caused by sneezing or coughing. The state health department officials said that they were not recommending school closures at this time, partly because school-aged children have not been as hard hit by the coronavirus. So, yeah, the state is not recommending yet that schools should close in Minnesota. So at least we have a state of emergency, peacetime state of emergency declared in Minnesota. We're expecting to get one at the federal level as soon as Trump starts speaking. Eric, doesn't look like he's started yet, does it?
Nothing yet.
So, surprise, surprise, a politician is delayed with their speech. I don't think any politician at any time in history has been on time when they are scheduled to give a speech. I think the only exception might be the State of the Union. So, we're going to talk more about the COVID-19 virus as the show goes on, because I want to go through some numbers and do some math about why this really is a big deal. I hear a lot of people downplaying this, saying, well, it's just the flu, or it's only going to affect the elderly or people with underlying health conditions. Well, we're going to run through some numbers, especially from Italy, and show how easily our healthcare system here in the United States could be overrun. But before we get to that, let's talk to our buddy Gary in Minneapolis. Gary, what is on your mind today with the coronavirus?
Well, I want to talk about some things I hear at your station that I don't hear on the media and other places. Like a lady on your station about a week ago said that Obama had a great big pandemic program set up, in the government, the federal government, to deal with something like this. And then because Trump destroyed everything Obama did, if it wasn't for the money, it wasn't that much money that he destroyed that, like he did with Iran, and now they're enriching uranium again in Iran. So Trump and the whole darn Republican Party seem to be against that Iran deal. And then another thing, today, Hartman, before you said that those test strips, they produce them in Germany, a big company, everybody else buys them from them, but Trump is holding on for because of the profit motive again in this country. He spent $100.5 million to a company called Quest and another one, LabCorp, so that it takes time for them so they can, cost money, make money off it, make money off us while we get sicker. But anyways, I got to say, this proves one thing. Hartman said this. This shows where the great mass of us, we're in this together, and it'll unite us, like the Depression unites American people to help each other in the 30s. And it shows how phony this libertarian garbage of the Koch brother types is. Of course, if you're rich and powerful, you can step on everybody. Remember Rotten Ronnie saying, hooray for me, the hell with everybody else was the way he talked. We don't need the government. The government's a problem. Well, this shows what a phony bunch of BS it all is.
All right, Gary, thanks for the phone call, and glad he threw in that term, Rotten Ronnie. He hasn't used that one in quite some time, but was able to throw that back out there. All right, coming up next, we are going to do some math about the COVID-19 virus and why we are very susceptible to having our healthcare system overrun. So stick around. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. We'll do a little math corner coming up next.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
We use technology every day to help manage our lives. Why not use it to help manage your medications? St. Paul Corner Drug offers several free tools to keep you on track while taking your medications. Use our mobile app to quickly order a refill, or the MedsOnQ application, which turns your smartphone or tablet into your very own personal medication attendant. Email and text messaging options let you know when your medication is ready for pickup, making efficient use of your time. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to rimark.com. IT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
With the warmer weather coming, it's time to get that new Toyota vehicle you've wanted at Rudy Luther Toyota. Everyone loves the RAV4, and Rudy Luther has both the hot-selling 2020 RAV4 and the wildly popular RAV4 Hybrid. Both have inspiring design, intuitive technology, and smart style, and Rudy Luther has 250 available. And test drive the completely redesigned Highlander. Discover more quality for family time with the refined interior and the striking exterior. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. We're going to be spending the majority of our time today talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus, and I want to go through some math and statistics on this. I've seen this floating around from a lot of people, especially from some friends and family I have on social media, talking about how, well, this isn't a big deal at all. It's just the seasonal flu. Everyone will be fine with it. And the only folks who are running into trouble are those that are elderly or who have underlying health conditions. And the bigger problem, while they are true that if you are a younger person and if you don't have any health problems, but yeah, you are very likely to recover.
Even that is kind of a misanthropic idea. Like, oh yeah, it's just the elderly. Who cares?
Yeah. And
it's just people with health conditions.
Well, let's even start with this too. I won't even go to the math quite yet. The problem with that type of thinking is that, well, yeah, you might be infected, but you could infect someone who does have those types of health issues. Or I heard someone also saying, well, then elderly people should stay at home and not go out. Same with those with health conditions. Well, that's still a pretty silly selfish argument to make. But even if you were to do that, consider the fact that the chain of the infection doesn't just go from you to one other person. So let's say you go out to, let's say sporting events were canceled. Let's say you infect somebody who infects another person who infects another person who is, let's say, a healthcare worker that works in a nursing home. That's how you end up infecting people who are elderly or those who have health concerns. So even if you're trying to say, well, yeah, well, just have the elderly stay inside and not go out, still keep in mind, this is a chain. That's how that works. It goes from person to person to person to person. So even if you're not interacting with someone who might be susceptible to COVID-19, just think about that chain of people that whoever you might infect might interact with. So you got to think about that from a little bit more of a distance when talking about, well, how you could end up infecting people. Let's go through some math, though, and I love what you said there, Eric. It is kind of a goofy argument, very kind of selfish thinking. Well, it's okay if it only infects the elderly. It's just, yeah. All right, so let's go through some stats, though. The COVID-19 fatality rate is anywhere from about 3 to 5%. Although looking at the numbers out of Italy, it's even been as high as about 7%. They had like 2,000 more cases reported today, which is just...
I've heard that it disproportionately affects smokers pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Italy has high smoking rates.
So that could certainly be part of it too. And that would make some sense since generally you end up getting pneumonia, which is causing a lot of those health problems once you get COVID-19. But even if we go to the lower end and say it's 3 to 5%, well, the fatality rate of the seasonal flu is less than 1%. I even heard someone talking about, I think it was H1N1. Even that fatality rate was a lot lower than what COVID-19 is. So let's have that established first, that the fatality rate is much higher than the seasonal flu of 3 to 5%. But what's perhaps an even bigger problem than the fatality rate is the number of people who require intensive care. Because a lot of people do end up recovering from COVID-19, but there's a large portion of people who do require that intensive care type of medical care to recover from COVID-19. In fact, if we just look at the stats out of Italy, 15% of people in Italy need serious medical care like oxygen and a high-end, high-care bed to be able to recover from COVID-19. So 15% of people in Italy have required that. So let's do some more numbers with this. We have 95,000 ICU beds here in the United States. 95,000. And then if we look at Italy, who, by the way, has a much better healthcare system than us, they have a 15% rate of people who require that type of serious medical care. So let's do some math. If we do 95,000 beds, that's the number of ICU beds we have in the country, and we divide that by 15%, that equals 633,000 people. So in other words, if 633,000 people in the United States, which is less than 1% of our population, were infected with the coronavirus and 15% of them were to require a bed, well, that's how many people you would need that, or that's how many beds. Wait, I think I messed up the math actually there, Eric. Let's go back and try that again. So let's say we have, 95,000 ICU beds in the country, and we divide that by the 15% of people that would be that are requiring intensive care. That would be 633,000 people. So if 633,000 people get infected and 15% of that equals 95,000. That's how many people would need to be infected overall.
We're at capacity.
Yeah, we're at capacity. But the problem with that is that assumes every ICU bed is currently open. Does that make sense?
Because they're being used for other things.
Yeah, because there are ICU beds that are pretty much always in capacity. I think I read some stats that like 80 to 85% of ICU beds are already in capacity. So even if that 633,000 number, that assumes that every bed is open, which, by the way, is not true whatsoever. So let's even look at this further. Right now, Italy has, as reported today, about 17,000 cases of the virus. Italy's population is about 60 million people. So about 0.03% of the population in Italy has the coronavirus. And it's completely overrun their healthcare system. So if we take the equivalent of Italy here in the United States, that means if 0.03% of the U.S. population gets the coronavirus, we're in the exact same situation as the folks in Italy.
Yeah, that's almost dead on just for my rough math.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did this earlier. And it's a lot of numbers to go through, so hopefully I'm making sense as I'm saying that. So in Italy, again, they have a population of 60 million people. And right now it's being reported that 0.03% of their population has the coronavirus. And right now it's completely overrun their healthcare system, where you have doctors that are choosing who's living and who's dying because they simply don't have enough ICU beds to be able to help people recover. In other words, that means there could be people who could be recovering, but they don't have access to the adequate healthcare to recover from the coronavirus. Therefore, they are ended up dying, even though technically they probably could be saved if Italy had enough of a capacity to handle them. So that's happening with Italy only having 0.03% of their population infected with COVID-19. So let's take that 0.03% and multiply that by the population of the United States, which is about 326 million. What does that come to?
Very similar to the number of ICU beds we have in
even
this
smaller, yeah. Wow. Actually, you're right. I didn't even think about that factor. 92,000 people. If 92,000 people are infected in the country, we could have the exact same situation that is occurring in Italy right now. And I would argue that number is probably even lower when you consider that we don't have a universal healthcare system and the fact that you can just look at health rankings around the world. Italy is rated as having the second best healthcare in the entire world. Number two overall. That's higher than what we are rated here in this country. And I've already talked about, heck, do you remember back a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about how St. Paul was going to be closing some ICU beds at a number of hospitals? There were a couple of hospitals that were going to do that. So we already have a shortage of ICU beds in this country, and there's a good chance we could be completely overrun, similar to Italy. And the number could be around 92,000. If we get 92,000 cases in the country, yeah, we could be in a lot of trouble.
Except, Brett, you're assuming that all of the Americans would end up even going to the hospital. Because all those people who aren't insured are going to do everything in their power to not go.
That's a great point, too.
Continue life as normal.
Yeah, and that's why I said. And that's Italy, who has the second best healthcare system in the entire world. So those are some sobering numbers for you. So when you hear people argue that, oh, it's just the seasonal flu and it's only going to infect the elderly people or those with underlying health conditions, I think the issue they miss is that there's a high portion of people, 15% in Italy, that need serious medical care to actually survive this thing. And that's why people are dying in Italy that otherwise would be able to survive COVID-19 if they could get access to an ICU bed. So this is not going in a good direction here in our country.
And it's, I don't know. I go back to it's an absurd argument because it's like, oh, colon cancer? That only affects old people.
Yeah,
who cares
about
that?
About
we don't
it.
Need to
yeah,
worry
yeah.
about that cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Take the line of Ivan Drago out of Rocky V. If they die, they die. I think that was Rocky IV where that movie or that line actually came from the infamous Ivan Drago. So, yeah, those are some sobering stats. So I'll even post this online. It's tough to kind of wrap your head around that math when you're listening to someone talk about it than rather than actually seeing it on a piece of paper. But in essence, the simplest way to put it is this. Again, Italy's entire healthcare system is overrun right now. They have 60 million people. 0.03% of the population is infected. If we have 0.03% of the population infected in this country, that would equal 92,000 people. So we could reach that breaking point if we have 92,000 people infected. And I would still argue that that number could probably be a lot lower than that for reasons Eric and I were talking about, with the fact that, well, Italy has a better healthcare system than us, and you also consider that, yeah, there are a lot of people who aren't going to go to the doctor or go to the hospital because, well, they don't have health insurance. Or the fact that they might not even know they have COVID-19 in the first place because we have such a lackluster testing system here in our country. So, yeah, want to go through those numbers right there. They certainly are very sobering. Let's go to the phone lines. We have got John in Minnetonka. John, what is on your mind today?
You guys have set me up beautifully. First off, I'm 67 with heart conditions. I am a member of the gig economy, unable to get a regular job with a paycheck or hourly wages, so I will never get unemployment. I must work. I must be out in the environment earning money, and I do events like home and garden shows, stuff like that, selling products. Well, between now and the first week in April, I just had $30,000 of income taken away from me. I have no income now because of what's going on with Corona. It is a disaster. I've got about enough money to survive for a month, and then I have nothing. And I can't. I got all kinds of products. I'm ready to go do business, but I can't do it because everything's shutting down. Now, the numbers you were talking about, I think you're way low. They were interviewing the governor of Ohio yesterday after he shut down all the schools.
Mm-hmm.
He said at that time they had two confirmed cases of coronavirus. His health department did the numbers based on what's been happening around the world, and I don't know if he said it was confirmed cases or exposure. He said two confirmed cases means at least 100,000 Ohioans have either confirmed or exposed to corona.
Mm-hmm.
We have a smaller population, but we have a much higher exposure. We have a much higher infection rate than they do. So right now, there's probably 100,000 Minnesotans walking around infecting people.
Yeah, and you're
they don't want to close the schools. And those are the kids will be fine, but how many hundreds of, or thousands of people will be killed because of the of what viruses they pass into their family, who pass it on to other people, mm-hmm. just the spread of it. It's crazy. Some of us have no choice but to be out there doing it just because we got to survive. But this is absolutely insane that we don't have the testing and all that stuff because it looked bad for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what has me nervous, too. I mean, that number I was bringing up with 92,000, that's the absolute most optimistic number. As you brought up, it's probably going to be way lower than that, and well, I would certainly agree with you.
It is way – the number of beds is way lower than that. I believe it was mm-hmm. –
you're talking the number of ICU beds. Oh, my gosh, yeah, it's much lower than 95,000.
It's like 85% or 95%.
Right.
We only have 500 ICU beds in the entire state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And 85% of them are full all the time. So we've got 150 beds available maximum at any time in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, it's not exactly easy to just
to have people dead because of that.
And even if you were to double the number of ICU beds through some sort of emergency order, even that probably still wouldn't be enough to take in the amount of care that people are going to need once this thing really ramps up. So hate to be kind of fear-mongering, but it's not a good situation.
Well, there's no testing, no testing available. It's been several weeks before the commercial companies do it instead of just getting in the WHO tests.
Mm-hmm.
We're not ramping up the manufacture of ventilators and other equipment that we need in the hospitals to be able to deal with all this. It's going to end up, I think, very quickly being like Italy or worse, where you triage them in the street and, well, we don't have anything we can do with this person. We just have to let them die because we can't, we're going to go help this younger person because they got a better chance of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's going to end up turning into. Unless some radical stuff is done, like right now, and I would love the option of not having to go out there and work. I'd love to huddle up at home, but without some help coming away from someplace, I have no choice but to go out there. I lost $30,000 in the next 3 weeks of income. I have to find a way to replace that, or I'll end up losing everything I have.
Hey, John.
It's crazy.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the phone call, and that goes to even what Congress passed, I think it was yesterday, saying you get, 14 days of paid sick leave time. That still doesn't come anywhere near to the amount of pay that people are going to need to try to be sustained. I mean, it's certainly a step in the right direction, but it's going to be a lot of money that's required to, certainly kind of keep people afloat. And as John is saying, there's a lot of people in his same boat, too, where how are you going to pay your bills?
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of my income comes from a different job that I do, mm-hmm. working as a stagehand for events,
right.
And those are all canceled now. So for the next 2 months, I kind of have to plan, I just won't have that income coming in mm-hmm. whatsoever.
And even for me, I'm not in quite as dire a situation as some people, but I mean, obviously I work full-time at AM 950, but I also get a good portion of my income, not the majority of it, from doing other gigs like I've talked about many times. I stream different events, whether it's hockey or professional wrestling or weddings or business events. Well, guess what? All those hockey and pro wrestling events, those are all going to be canceled for the next couple of months. So even I'm going to be taking a hit on that. And I'm one of the fortunate people since I do have a full-time job, where if you're someone like who John was talking about, if you work in the gig economy or you have an hourly wage, you're going to be hit really, really hard by this. So we'll continue our conversation about COVID-19. We're running late, so we got to take a break. Debbie, hang on the phone lines. We'll get to your call coming up as soon as we get through Art Beat for the Week here on AM 950.
This is Art Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of great arts events you're going to want to attend in the Twin Cities area this weekend. Tonight, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Second Shift Studio Space in St. Paul, get on out and see Fridges by Kazuo Melissa Vong. Fridges is an ongoing portrait series documenting and highlighting refrigerators and freezers from the homes of Hmong American families and individuals here in Minnesota. The refrigerators reflect not only the relationship between food and the people living in the household, but also the relationship between Kazuo Melissa Vong, the photographer, and the families and individuals who allowed her to take portraits of their refrigerators and freezers. What started out as an exploration between Kazuo's mother, their family kitchen, and her, more importantly the refrigerator, evolved into looking at the larger scale between relationships, roles, culture, food, preservation, time, and history. Go to Facebook to look up more event details on Fridges by Kazuo Melissa Vong. Join BOP, also known as Bisexual Organization Project, this Sunday, March 15th at 2 p.m. at the Mixed Blood Theater Company for Interstate and their social mixer after the show. Interstate is a queer Asian American pop rock musical about two trans people at different stages of their journeys, navigating love, family, masculinity, and finding community in the era of social media. It charts Dash, a transgender spoken word performer, as he goes on a cross-country tour with Adrian, a lesbian singer-songwriter, as the activist band Queer Malady. Fueled by the allure of fame and a desire to connect with the queer Asian community. The band's fiercely political and deeply personal music touches Henry, a transgender teenager blogger living in Middle America, who finds solace in their art as he struggles with his own identity and family. Go to mixedblood.com to reserve your tickets and use the code BOP20 and you will save $15 off your tickets. That's Art Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Paul Mesa inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend on AM 950 at 6 p.m. We continue our conversations with the great Charles Pierce, one of the greatest political writers in our time, 100,000 followers on Twitter, writes for Esquire.com. We talk politics and a little music. It's our fifth time we've chatted with Charlie. It's called Checkpoint Charlie. You're going to love it. We talk politics and more this Saturday at 6 p.m.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 37, and tonight, cloudy skies with a low around 21. Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 37 and a low of 25. Sunday will be sunny with a high of 44 and a low of 33. Believe it or not, it's time for spring cleaning. And if you want your house to be fresh and clean, you've got to go with Zero Res. This month, get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Resified starting at just $129, plus a free hallway. That's a savings of $55. Find more online at ZeroResMinnesota.com.
We're back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. President Donald Trump is speaking as we're on the airwaves right now. Since we're in the middle of the speech, we won't go ahead and play that over the airwaves, but I, you can go and check that out on YouTube if you want, or check out some news summaries. So go back and listen to that speech yourself over there on YouTube. But here's some highlights from it, though. This is from Daniel Dale, who's a reporter from CNN. This is being quoted from President Trump. A fairly new and incredible thing that's happened in the not-so-distant past is telehealth. So apparently we're going to be using telehealth to try to determine if people have the coronavirus. Yeah, because that seems like it's a really good way to test people. We'll just have a little phone conversation with someone.
It's called WebMD. All the smartest
people. That's essentially what he's saying. Just use WebMD to determine if you have the coronavirus. Oh, my God. He did declare a national emergency, by the way. And then he also was quoted as saying this, this again from Daniel Dale at CNN. I'm throwing the us in there because apparently that's what he's been saying. He's also speaking in a very monotone voice, which leads me to believe that he probably doesn't really understand what he's saying.
Or that he was forced to do this and doesn't want to.
Yeah. Quote, we don't want people to take a test if we feel they shouldn't be doing that. Period, 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 ellipses. Running out and taking. Only if they have certain symptoms, which is horrible advice because people have that incubation period for what, like 14 days before they're even showing symptoms.
He's implying that people just want to take it for fun. Like, don't take it 10 times. Don't take it 20 times. Give it to people who need it.
You know what I want to do on a Friday night? I want to go take the COVID-19 test. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's all get it. Cross-panel testing for diseases.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, we won't be playing the entire audio from the speech. I'm sure Matt might be checking it out now. So stay tuned to the Matt McNeil show coming up at 3 o'clock. I'm sure he'll have much more reaction to the Trump address that's taking place as we speak. All right, Debbie has been hanging on the phone lines forever. Let's get Debbie's comments from Eden Prairie. Debbie, what do you think about all this?
Well, hi, Brett. I just wanted to mention that I read an article in the New York Times yesterday. And it said the title is Why Coronavirus is a Special Risk to Half of Americans. And that's because half of the people have a pre-existing condition or are older who could be more susceptible to the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's half. That's 50%.
I mean, yeah.
You know, and then also, I don't know if you guys were able to actually listen to the whole conference that Walz had along with the other officials.
I unfortunately, didn't get a chance, but were you able to listen to that, Debbie?
I listened to a lot of it, and Keith Ellison was on, and he mentioned that there are a lot of scams going on and price gouging for things that people are trying to get to prepare for this, and we have no law in Minnesota against price gouging.
Unfortunately, we don't. And yeah, that certainly could be a reality once we have a vaccine or some treatment where, oh yeah, guess what? That's going to cost you $890 to get your vaccine for the coronavirus.
He still wants people to report to the Attorney General's office if they see anything, you know, that they think is price gouging or a scam where somebody's trying to say they can, you know, heal this virus or whatever, you know. Which is happening, I guess.
And that has me concerned, too. I've seen this shared. Ugh, social media has been so toxic the past few days. I don't respond to anything, but it's unbelievable the amount of friends and family members I have on there that are just sharing things like, oh, if you just use this cow vaccine, that'll solve you from the coronavirus, even though it's a completely different strain of the coronavirus. And these are people who, in theory, are not dumb, but they're falling for this stuff. So as Debbie's saying, people are going to potentially fall for these types of scams.
Did you see that France had to release a statement saying that cocaine does not cure the coronavirus?
Really?
Unfortunately, no.
Wow. Hey, Debbie, appreciate the phone call. Some good information there. And you know people who are scammers are going to be all over this because people are going to be desperate to have some sort of solution to be able to get over the coronavirus or some way to be able to vaccinate themselves. I've seen other things where the latest one floating around today is that if you drink warm water every 15 minutes, that will cause the coronavirus to be washed into your stomach. Which I don't even know.
Makes sense. Just smoke cigarettes and suffocate the virus.
Yeah.
But I was in what you're talking about with people trying to do scams or grifts or trying to like rip people off for money. I saw a CEO of Gilead, a company that was working on a vaccine, talking on CNBC, I believe. And he was speaking about, oh, well, we're going to make this vaccine. We're trying to make it affordable to people. And you have to ask, well, what does affordable mean? Because is it affordable for what you're willing to pay to not die? Because that amount of money might not be so small.
Yeah, is it affordable for someone who makes six figures a year? Yeah, that's always an important thing to point out. The definition of what affordable is, and as you brought up too, people could be willing to pay just about anything so they can live where, they might clean out
afford,
their entire savings. Yeah,
I can afford emptying my savings to survive.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are going to be exposed to the fact. I mean, we've often heard during the presidential debates how if you like your insurance, you can keep it. Or many millions of Americans don't want to lose their private health insurance. Well, I wonder once we start getting this vaccine for the coronavirus, how many people are still going to enjoy their health insurance once they figure out that, your insurance is only going to cover 40% of the cost of your coronavirus vaccine. Yeah. Do you a nice lot of good if it costs a couple thousand dollars. I could be overestimating how much it costs, but either way, it's going to hit people's pocketbooks pretty hard. So we're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll talk a little bit about the political ramifications of what's gone on for the past few days coming up next, because I do want to talk about this idea of quarantining and closing borders and how it relates to Trump's response to the coronavirus. I think there, as I mentioned earlier in the show, an interesting political dynamic shaping up within the administration. We'll talk more about that coming up next.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's featured idealist is Rose Pastor Stokes, who pushed for labor unions and legalized birth control at the beginning of the 20th century. The big interview is with Nick Alm of the nonprofit Mosier. He's back for an update on his idealistic work. In my C block, I talk about serendipity and change of trajectory. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's featured idealist is Rose Pastor Stokes, who pushed for labor unions and legalized birth control at the beginning of the 20th century. The big interview is with Nick Alm of the nonprofit Mosier. He's back for an update on his idealistic work. In my C block, I talk about serendipity and change of trajectory. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles, so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
If only we had that money to pay for the eventual coronavirus vaccine. That is certainly going to probably be price gouged once that is released. So yeah, yesterday my show was pre-recorded. As you probably noticed, I was out running some errands, and one of the things I had to do was get my oil changed, and the place I went to required sitting in the lobby with a few other people. And I usually get this at the start of spring. I start getting my allergies, so I just happened to cough once, and just kind of the look of concern and horror on everyone's face as soon as I just coughed once. So it's funny how you got to be careful now about like clearing your throat or even coughing in public, because people do, probably justifiably so, get a little nervous when that happens. I don't know if you've run into that, if you've happened to cough around a group of people in a pub.
I have not, but that's a good idea if you just want to clear some space.
Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine who works in the retail industry at a Walgreens, and he was saying how he was overwhelmed the other day with just the amount of customers that were coming in to buy toilet paper, which I still don't get.
I don't get it either. Of all the things, all the necessities, toilet paper seems like a luxury item.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the limits of our imagination that we can't imagine like running short on anything else?
Yeah, if we end up on a total lockdown in the entire country where half the population has the coronavirus, wiping yourself is going to be the least of your concerns. But oh man, we were even talking at our meeting upstairs about the coronavirus when we were talking about what's going to happen if things shut down. I think it was Chad who brought up, he had a neighbor who ordered some toilet paper online, had it delivered to his doorstep. They went out for just an hour and someone already swiped it from their doorstep. Like a 24-pack of toilet paper was stolen that they ordered from Amazon. Just insane. So yeah, I've never quite gotten the toilet paper craze necessarily. All right, so let's talk about the response from the Trump administration to the coronavirus, because what I do find interesting, as we talked about earlier in the show, yeah, there is an incentive to underreport the amount of cases, so it would, in theory, boost his reelection chances. But I don't know, I think about the perspective of the people who are within the administration that are dead set on closing the borders, that are against immigration whatsoever. And chief among them is Stephen Miller. And I wonder why. I think he was among one of the people that wrote that speech he gave earlier in the week, that primetime address. His fingerprints are all over the fact that, oh, we're going to close all travel from Europe, except the United Kingdom for some reason, which doesn't make any sense. Well, I guess when you look at that, he has a lot of business out there, does Donald Trump. But closing the borders at this point really doesn't do a whole lot of good. The horse is already out of the barn. Closing travel and closing the borders is not going to do anything. The virus is already here. Now, you can make the argument, well, if he had closed the borders 1 month ago, maybe that would have helped. Well, there's a chance it might have, but the chances of that actually working are really small, because all it takes is one person to make it through the cracks that has the virus, and all of a sudden, that's how the thing ends up getting spread. So yeah, maybe there was a 2% chance that if you closed the entire borders of the country a month ago, that could have worked. But ultimately, the chances of that working and being your only deterrent to trying to stop the coronavirus are very, very small. There are things we should have been doing a whole lot earlier, including, well, preparing a whole bunch of new ICU beds. Like I was saying, we only have 95,000 here in the country, and about 85% of those are already in use. And the bigger problem with COVID-19 is that there are a lot of people who are going to require that type of intensive care just to recover from the thing. In Italy, that number has been about 15%. So those are some steps we certainly should have been taking from the beginning, setting up ICU beds. Obviously, we should have been setting up testing kits as well, free testing kits so everyone has access to it. That's certainly a concern, too, is the fact that people could end up in some really rough shape because they don't even know that they have the coronavirus in the first place. So yeah, this whole idea of closing the borders and shutting down air travel. In theory, that could have worked. It might have worked a month ago. But even then, the chances of that deterring the entire coronavirus is still very small.
And the coronavirus can exist on other surfaces besides people.
Mm-hmm. That too, yeah. So I understand, yeah, maybe there's a very small chance it could have worked, but you should still be preparing for the worst and realize that, yeah, there's still a very good chance it's going to make it through that travel ban, no matter what you put through. And the idea of putting a travel ban in now is just completely stupid since it's already here. You're not going to be really preventing any new cases by shutting down travel from Europe. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. All right, so Randy in St. Cloud has some thoughts on Stephen Miller's logic on this ban we've seen throughout, well, most of Europe being placed by the U.S. So, Randy, go through what you think about this.
Well, theory on the not including UK in the in the travel ban. Boris Johnson got elected mainly off of the Brexit thing, and the Brexit thing was pretty much had a lot to do with immigration and the open borders part of the UK's deal. And Boris Johnson is kind of a kindred spirit to Trump, too, because they're both kind of
cannons. Yeah, he's kind of the British Donald Trump, yes.
Right. And, I mean, it fits right in with Stephen Miller and having a thought but not thinking it through. And then you get these great... Oh, plus, about 2 seconds after that whole address was done... our wonderful president had a tweet come out that he obviously didn't write because it was in good English and good punctuation and no capital letters that said, no, I didn't mean to say about no goods, no cargo. If I said that, you misunderstood me. We still have open borders for all the cargo and the shipments of goods. Because that's what he had said originally. And they went, no, don't say that, you dope. So, anyway.
All right. Hey, appreciate the phone call there, Randy. Hey, we're getting some more responses from the speech. I have a couple of people that have been texting me that have been watching this. Apparently, this entire speech has just been a giant ad for businesses like Walmart, Google, Target, and other businesses where, yeah, apparently they're going to be partnering with Google for COVID tests.
Dow Jones loves that.
Yeah, Walmart, Target, and Walgreens and CVS CEOs are there for the emergency declaration. Apparently they've been attending this press conference, and as you said, you're correct with the Dow Jones. It's now up like 1,500 points, which... I'm no investment person, but I'm not sure I would necessarily go back and buy stocks because the economy is still going to be disrupted in a major, major way. Yeah, this could certainly be a temporary turnaround, but that's often what happens when economies are crashing, is that you will get a couple of times where, yeah, stocks will bounce back up.
The dead cat bounce?
The dead cat. I love that term, the dead cat bounce. That might be what we're experiencing yet again. All right, Matt McNeil going to have much more on COVID-19 coming up next. I'll talk to you on Monday.